Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Romans chapter 4. If you have your Bible, turn there to Romans chapter 4, verse number 16, where the scripture says here in the beginning of this verse, Romans 4, 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. We've been taking a look here at the Old and New Testaments and have done so, and last Sunday, or the Sunday before last, we had Brother Titus with us last Sunday, and thankful to have had him with us. But the Sunday previous, we took a look not at the Old and New Testaments or the Old and New Covenants. Those words can be used synonymously. There is a difference at times the way that those words are used, but they can be used as synonyms. We began to take a look last time at the testaments of God's graciousness and mercy. The Lord brought about the Old Testament for a reason, which we've investigated and gone to the scriptures and looked about. And so we've seen that in previous messages. And if you weren't here for those messages in time, they'll be on the Baptist Archive. And I would encourage you to listen to them and hear what the Lord has said. We see in this, I think that we see in this, and again, how our Lord deals with mankind. He deals with us in the way that he's created us, having created us in his image and his likeness, and to glorify him, to fellowship with him. But because of Adam's sin and our subsequent fall in our Father, we are in this terrible, wretched, depraved state, and God has not dealt with mankind in just a brash and abrupt way, but over the course of 4,000 years revealed his goodness unto mankind, ultimately in his Son, the Son of God coming down and manifesting himself as the Savior that he is and always has been of men. In Romans chapter 3, just maybe a page over there, we see a summary here about why the Lord that has done this has done this in this way. And it says here in Romans 3:19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, and remember the law was a provision of that Old Testament, that Old Covenant, it saith to them that are under the law, that's you and me, that's we are under the law of God and the subsequent judgment of God for our transgression thereof. The law of God was given to Israel, but the law of God has always stood from the time of the creation. God told our father, don't eat of that tree. And he disobeyed. And we've been disobeying since. You know, we make comment from time to time that we say, oh my, can you believe on all the laws that we have in our country? And then the legislatures of our federal government and our state governments meet year after year after year, creating yet more laws. You know what that's a testimony of? Our wickedness. Because we had one and we broke it. And you know what that does? That means that it's just got to be spelled out more and more and more by the authority where we've got to go and how we need to go to stay on the right, good side of things. The multiplicity of our laws and the great abundance of our laws is just speaking to us, telling us we are sorry and bad off as a people. But there's help in the Lord. He says here, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that's you and me, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Our Lord dealt with in that Old Testament with a small sample of mankind, Israel, who had seen his great works and all that. But our carnality and depravity, wickedness and sinfulness keeps us from, prevents us from keeping our Lord's law. Even in the Lord dealing with this nation over the course of centuries, And if you will, in speaking as a man, giving him opportunity to take him up on his covenant, their sin brought them into captivity and desperation and just down, 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 because they would not and could not keep the law of God. And in the midst of that, in the end of that, if you will, our Lord spake in Jeremiah that he would make a new covenant with the house of Israel. He would make a new covenant with mankind, I believe. He said he would put his law in the inward parts of his people, and that he would forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. We know it's speaking to us being here at this time and point in time because Christ came unto his nation. But in the building of his church and the giving and fulfilling and giving of his gospel, it's come to the whole world. And this is our Lord dealing with mankind indeed. He tells us in Ezekiel, speaking with Israel in their captivity, Judah, that half of the divided kingdom found there in Babylonia. I mean, they're separated from their homeland and every blessing of God. And God says, I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit within you. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. I will give you a heart of flesh and pluck out that heart of stone. The Lord telling about how he saves and how he rescues sinners indeed. Just a hint, the Bible, the scripture, and the Lord giving us and revealing his work unto us. And that's what the Bible is all about. Pointing to Christ, pointing back to Christ, forward to Christ in the Old Testament, backward to Christ in the New Testament. It's just a, again, that analogy of taking the peelings off the onion. It's got all the way down to the center, and Christ has been revealed that he is the one that we need. We need a covenant. We need a testament based on him and his ability to bring it to pass. The Old Testament that was made by our Lord with Israel, and it was not able to be kept. But here we have also, beside the old and the new, we have these covenants, testaments of God's graciousness and mercy. We've looked at one of those regarding the flood, and it's to all of mankind. The reason for the rainbow and the promise of the Lord that he would never destroy this earth again by a worldwide flood. Well, there's another one we want to look at this morning, and I invite you to turn to your Bibles in Genesis chapter 12. I want us to note about this covenant, this testament, if you will, that note that it was before the old with the nation of Israel. Note that it was personal and individual. Isn't that something? Isn't that neat? I tell you what, the wisdom of God, you know, talking with the brother this morning and appreciate his pursuits, all the pursuits of our brethren and in their pursuits and studies for the adult Sunday school class. And come that we might learn. Come, there's much to be learned there at that time. The more that you and I delve into the scripture and the Bible, the more we'll find out about God and how he's worked. And the thing is, in our pursuit of such in a lifetime, are you here and young? I tell you what, feed on the word of God. Middle-aged, feed on the word of God. Older aged, feed on the word of God, because we'll never be able to get to the bottom of what God has done for sinners and for his children and for his people. We'll never be able to get to the bottom of what he's promised unto us. And so it's a blessing when we take and we look at passages, and not that I'm anything special as your pastor, as a man. What you and I have, we've been given by God. And the thing is, if we will avail ourselves of the scripture and ask our Lord to help us and teach us, he will do so. He's promised to do so by his Spirit. And you know what? We'll just have even more that our Lord has given to rejoice in him about. So look at that. I never understood that in that way. This covenant with this man that we're going to look at this morning, it was individual. It was God coming to one man. That's the way it's always been. The Lord coming to one man, one woman, one boy, one girl. That's the kind of God that he is. That's the working that he has. And it's personal indeed. And I want you to know this. In this day, there was no Bible, the Word of God. So you know what the Lord did? He spoke to this man. But you know what the Lord's doing today? Through this very book, he's speaking to you and me. You know, we've got this, there's enough guilt to go around for things that where we fail and all that kind of thing. And we don't need to dwell on that, but we need to learn from it and go on. I think there is an element where we've taken this of salvation of the soul and made it into some kind of electrifying spectacle, bright light, shaking, earth shattering, wind is blown out of the building kind of thing. We may have been preaching to people and to sinners to have some kind of experience like us, rather than having whatever experience the Lord has between him and them. And understand, it's not about the neon lights flashing or the fireworks going off or some feeling that you get in the pit of your stomach or in your chest or tingling in your arms, whatever. But it's about faith in the Lord Jesus, taking all that you are and believing him and resting in him.
Amen.
We've got folks that are waiting for the Lord. I've had this. I've run into this. Got folks that are waiting on the Lord to move. I tell you what, the Lord has moved. He's given us his word. He sent his son. And he's laid it right out there. He's speaking just as loudly to us as he has to Abraham. And telling about what he's done for the rescue of sinners. May God help us. We as his people and as his church, we not take this thing of the salvation of the soul and the need of Christ and complicate it with our thoughts and with our thinking, with our orthodoxy. May we just lay it out there the way the Lord's given it. And the Lord, and pray that our Lord will take it and use it. Amen. We do live in a time and a desperate day where the work of God and his churches and the churches and the families of the churches, we've never seen it in my lifetime, and you that are older than me in my lifetime, as sorry and as thin as it is in our churches. Why? I preached unto the brethren yesterday, and I tell you what, I preached this message to myself first at the conference there, that we pastors need to make sure that we're not the problem. And each of us as members, we need to circumspect and introspect and make sure that we're not the problem either. We need to be witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ and simply in what he's done for us and in the truth of his gospel and his call unto sinners, just like he called this man. In Genesis chapter 12, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old, when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And so here we see that the Lord, there's no Bible there. There's no word of God written, but the word of the Lord came to Abram, and he told him what to do. Verse 6, and Abram passed through the land of the place of Sychem, under the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So what do we have here? There's no Bible there. There's no church there in that day. There's no institution carrying forth the truth of the word of God there in that day. But God's still working. God's working. And he visited with his word this man, and he told him, load up your family, you separate yourself, and go to where I tell you to go. And you know what this man did? Well, he didn't separate himself too well. And all about that, we don't know. It could have been, Lot, won't you go with me? Or it could have been, and his father was in the midst of that, said, oh, son, where are you going? Well, I'm going this way, so well, we're going too. We don't know. Was Abraham looking for company, or did they just go ahead and tag along? I don't know. But the thing is the man got up, and he went. And what promise did he have of anything? He had the word of the Lord. Had the word of the Lord. And you know, he went. He went. And so the Lord, it says here, we've read, this man then begins to worship the Lord, doesn't he? He doesn't know much. He knows about sacrifice. Brother Adam knew about sacrifice, taught it to his sons. He knew about calling, praying, as we would say, unto the Lord. And he did that. He prayed unto the Lord. He didn't have any Bible to sit down and read. You realize that? He didn't have any. All he had was what the Lord said to him in that time that he said that to him. And he had that to think about and meditate upon and contemplate about. And to talk to the Lord about. But according to the scriptures, the times that the Lord came to Abram were really few. But here you and I, we've got this Bible where the Lord comes to us in this Bible, this scripture, all the time. But the Lord told him what he did, and this man obeyed. We come over to chapter 15, and the Lord deals with him in different things. You know some of the Battle of the Kings and more about Canaan and such as that. And the dealing with there in the land and such. We come to chapter 15, and the scripture says this in verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So that's what the Lord told him. I'm your shield and I'm exceeding great reward. Shield is protection, isn't it? And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And so Abram has a real concern in life, just like you and I do. Don't we have real concerns in life? He's got this he's got this promise from the Lord of having a multitude come from him. He doesn't understand. Abram is not doubtful. He wants to know. I believe he legitimately wants to know. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, this Eliezer, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. So he's given another promise from the Lord, isn't he? And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. He said, Abram, look toward heaven and tell, count the stars. What's that word tell means here? If thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So Abram doesn't have a book to go to read about the detail of what's going to do. This man asks for more detail. And you know what? God gives him more detail. It's kind of like you and me with the Bible today. We can learn more about the Lord. It's right here in his word, but we've got to delve into it, pray to him that he'll help us to see it. And you know what? He's a giver of wisdom and a holder of abundant wisdom and doesn't upbraid anybody that comes to him asking him. Right, amen? Amen? We know that. Oh, we've got it so good here. And he believed in the Lord. You know, if you would ask me to quote this verse, to my chagrin, I would say that he believed the Lord. But you just read what it says there. He believed in the Lord. He believed in him. And what's he got? He's got his stuff that he brought from Ur of the Chaldees, went to Haran. What he gained there, and he was a shepherd and a keeper of sheep and the cattle and such as that, and the work that he would continually do as he traveled, what did he have? He had nothing but the words of God. But he obeyed them. He followed them. And he believed in the Lord. And he, the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. He believed what God said. That's what he did. He believed what the Lord said unto action. He just followed the Lord. The Lord said, get out of Babylonia and go, or get out of Ur of the Chaldees and go west. He did it. The Lord said, get out of Haran and go down to Canaan. And he did it. He obeyed the Lord. The Lord said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. He believed in the Lord. He just believed what he said. And what does he have? Nothing physically. No written contract. No scroll to carry around with him to point to saying this is the promise. But he's got what God said. That's all he has. But I tell you what, that's enough, isn't it? It's enough. And he believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? How will I know? How will I know? Again, Abram is taking, as the Lord speaks to him, Abram is wanting to know more about his Lord. Think about it that way. Abram is wanting to know more about the workings of this one that has spoken to him, this one that says he's led him out of Ur of the Chaldees and brought him this far. How can I know? How can I know? So hear that, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Here's the answer. And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Get these animals, round them up. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst. He prepared them, slaughtered them, prepared them, in whatever way that he did, and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds divided he not, they were whole. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, so he's got this place where he's brought these animals that the Lord said. God said, bring the animals. What did Abram do? He brought the animals. He believed God. He just believes God. God says it for him to do it, to follow in it, and he does it. He believes God. And so it tells here how he ordered them, putting them beside each other. Well, in time, they're there. He's waiting. He's waiting on the Lord at whatever time that it is. What's going to happen? You got dead animals. There's going to be buzzards. Buzzards are going to come around. They can smell dead animal from miles away. Here they come. The fowls came down upon the carcasses. Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. It seems like he's been doing this the biggest part of the day. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Well, the Lord told him to do this thing. He's done it. He's waiting there for what's next. And you know what? It wears him out. Wears him out. Wears him out. He falls into this deep sleep. So deep, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. Best way I can understand this, you ever had a nightmare? We've all had nightmares. Maybe you've had nightmares. I've had nightmares that were just horrible and terrible. The thing is, Abram has fallen asleep. He's tried to keep the birds off these animals that the Lord's told him to prepare. And you know what? He just can't do anything more. He is subject to things that are out of his control. He couldn't keep himself awake. He wanted to stay awake. And the thing is where he would look to have a sleep that would be sweet, isn't that what you want when you go to bed at night? I pray the Lord help us to rest well, sleep well, and awake refreshed in the morning. As I've gotten older, that's what I pray. That we might, because you can sleep and not awake refreshed in the morning. Amen? And so... He can't control even his own body to stay awake. And he said unto Abram, the Lord did, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. How shall I know I shall inherit it? He got more than what he was asking for, didn't he? I mean, he got a prophecy from the Lord about, in detail, what's going to happen. More detail than he could ever have imagined. He asked, and the Lord gave it to him. And the thing is the Lord gave it to him in Abram's weakness, in Abram's sleep. You reckon the Lord had Abram's attention? He got Abram's attention, didn't he? Abram asks, the Lord tells him what to do. He can't even keep the buzzards off of the animals. This deep sleep, this horror of darkness. And then the Lord speaks to him about what he's going to do. The Lord answers his prayer, doesn't he? The Lord tells him what he is going to do in this covenant. And what the Lord is going to do regarding his purpose with this man. And it came to pass, verse 17, that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Abram, I think, would have seen this. Either that or it was given to Moses by the Lord, one or the other, an inspiration of the scriptures, or Abram then was woke up and he saw this burning lamp, the light and leading of the Lord. As the sun went down, it was dark, and behold, a smoking furnace. Some wonder if it's not a representation of that iron furnace that Brother Moses speaks about in Deuteronomy chapter 4 that the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of, an iron furnace. I tell you what, their captivity was solid and secure with no escape. But I tell you what, no one can thwart the Lord. And a burning lamp, a lamp there showing the light and the presence of the Lord, the power and the working of the Lord. And some wonder about that lamp being that light even that would be that fiery pillar that would lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know, I don't know. I can't say for sure, but it makes us think about those things and wonder about those things. Our Lord telling our brother what he's going to do. What's Abram doing? Abram's sleeping, and Abram's just watching. How will I know that I'll inherit this? And in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The Lord made a covenant. A covenant of graciousness and mercy. A covenant that Abram had no part in upholding. Who came to who? Who visited who? Who told who? And you know, when the Lord didn't tell Abraham, he didn't make a suggestion to Abram, rather. He told him the way it was going to be. And thing is what God told, the way it was going to be, when God tells it, it's going to be a good thing. Abram can't even stay away. How will I know that I'll inherit it? How will I know that I'll inherit it? And the Lord said, you'll inherit it by my power and my ability. By my power and my ability. And so the Lord made this covenant unto Abram and his seed. He says the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Cadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites, all their land. I'm going to give it to you. So here we have, way before the Old Testament, way before the law being written down, we have another testament of God's graciousness and mercy, a covenant made with this man personally, visiting this man with his word. And this man believed. He simply believed what God said. Then we come over to Genesis 17, and the Lord is visiting with him again. And we see here in verse number 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Grow up in me, son, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. See what's going on there? I am and I will. It's the Lord that's doing the talking. It's the Lord telling what he's going to do. And Abram, because he loves his Lord and he references his Lord, fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. He changes his name. He says, son, the old way, and what you were born to, and what you've known naturally yourself, that's done. What's at hand now is my way. And he gives him a new name, Abraham. And he tells what he will do for him. And he says, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, verse 6, and will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. So here he tells him, you and every male in your household is going to have this private token of my covenant with you. You know, in the church, we have this token of baptism. Only one person is baptized, and they're baptized for themselves. And that token is not salvation. But you know what that token tells? That token tells, that sign, that showing, tells what has happened. That's the same way with this. God's not blessing Abraham because he and his children's sons are going to be circumcised. It's a testimony of the covenant, the testament that God has made with this man. And you know what Abram does? God says, you're going to have this. It's going to be personal and private, just like salvation and just like this is. Of someone being baptized and hearing this day, they have believed the Lord. They have trusted and rested in the Lord and his gospel for the salvation of their souls. They give testimony that they are dead to self, dead to sin, dead to the world, dead to the ways of Satan, and alive in Christ in every way. And it's personal. Now, this one's public. Because, see, we've come to this time that the Lord says that witness, that testimony needs to be public. But Abram, he's got a token here that the Lord has given him of this covenant betwixt me and you. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. He gives the details about when to do it. A man-child, when he's 8 days 8 days old, and he tells about those of Abram and related to Abram, they're in his household and such. If they don't do it, it's a breach. It's a an offense unto God in verse number 14. He changes the name of Sarai, causing her name now and telling that her name is going to be Sarah in verse number 15. And he's going to bless her and give her a son, and she'll be the mother of nations, and kings shall be of her. And Abraham fell on his face, verse 17, and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born of him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Is this of joy or is this of doubt? Well, let's read on. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Abraham was still subject to go by his eyes. He was still subject to go by what he could see and what made sense to him. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, he's heard him, and he tells about him. Verse 21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, and which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this time, set time the next year. And again, as we understand, Brother Isaac's name does mean laughter. If there was any doubt, indeed, at the word of the Lord, it was turned to joy. And the name that was given of the son that she would bear, and he tells her about a year. Oh, what a rejoicing was in that place and in that house in that day, based on what? What God would do. What God would do. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, verse 23, and all that were in his house, and all that were brought with money, and every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto them. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Remember what it said in chapter 15? And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed. He believed. He believed what God said he would do. A testament, a covenant of graciousness and mercy. Abraham didn't deserve this. Abraham had no idea that he even needed this. But the Lord visited him and told him in his own words from his mouth that he was going to do this for him. The Lord, our Lord, determined it for this man and has and will bring it to pass. And in this, he provided a token of his covenant, his promise, his testament with this man, Abraham. In conclusion, as it says in Romans 4, 14 through 17, listen, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. The only way this promise is received is by faith, not by working for it. Not by bartering for it, trading for it, as a song that we sang, make ourselves more acceptable, and don't let conscience cause you to linger so you can might make yourself better and more presentable later on. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Because the law worketh wrath, because we have failed. And where no law is, there is no transgression. I think what's indicated here is that Christ takes away our transgressions, has fulfilled the law for his people. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. The graciousness, the goodness of the Lord, and what he has promised, what alone he can do, and what he has given, that sinners like you and me can be saved. Like sinners that have been saved by our Lord. It is of faith that it might be by grace. See, Abram Abram had to rest in the Lord when he loaded up from Ur of the Chaldees and started heading west. He had no contract. He had no tablet. He had no thing that he could hold of and show to the authorities what had been promised. He had the Word of God and what God said that he would do. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, speaking of the Jews, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He's speaking to a church in Rome that is namely made of Gentiles. As it is written, verse 17 of Romans 4, I've made thee a father of many nations, and indeed he has, before him whom he believed. Before him whom he believed even God, who quickeneth the dead, makes alive the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. I am dead in self, but I'm made alive in Christ. I have no hope in self. I have no hope in my works, in my attempt at obeying the law. But I have every help and every deliverance in Christ who has done so for me. Based on what I can go and confirm and check out with the authority and in the library and on the internet that it's true? No, by God's word that it is true. By what God has said. By what the Lord has promised indeed. Which testament, which covenant do you want? Which testament or covenant do you need? One of works that you bring to the Lord, which will not be received in any wise, or one of the graciousness and mercy of the Lord that is received by faith in him. Oh, don't we hear and what the graciousness and the merciful working of the Lord is to have even brought us his Bible, to bring us the scriptures, to cause us to be born in a free land where it's been around us all of our lives, to be so near to one of his churches that has preached the glorious gospel of Jesus for decades? Our Lord indeed has spoken. Our Lord indeed has worked. Or one of graciousness, a covenant, a testament of graciousness and mercy of the Lord that is received by faith in him. What he said, not what we can bring him or what we can do. Luke 22, verse 20, likewise also after the supper, our Lord Jesus, it says, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. I love that. I love that. What Jesus has done. I can't even approach to think to bring anything to that that even gets on the platform. Amen? But he's done it. He's done it. Sinner, will you hear the call of the Lord? In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at sundry times and in divers different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Amen. It's the Lord Jesus' word, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom he may also made the world. He's our creator. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, he says unto you and me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In John chapter 1, our brother writes in verse number 12, but as many as received him, what do you think Abram did that day? He received what God said. He believed what God said. But as many as received him, not religion, not a denomination, not a creed, not a philosophy of man, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Colon. That's a sentence that stands alone by itself. Because I tell you what, brothers and sisters, you've never met a baby that understood about being born and conceived. You never have. That's the word of God to sinners. You and I have, we, as saved, we have more to learn. In Romans 10, verse number 9, and if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Not historically, but personally. The Lord sent his son to be a savior for sinners, and he died, was buried, and rose again, and lives forevermore. Will you not receive him and believe and trust in him that he did that for you? His word, that he did so for a sinner like you. Our Lord, the scripture declares in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Our Lord, the Son has spoken. You receive it and believe it, or reject it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Again, in Genesis 15:6, and he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, God, counted it unto him for righteousness. Oh, the gracious and merciful testaments and covenants of our Lord through Jesus Christ and him alone, his power and